Good afternoon, everybody. I want to continue this talk on jhana. I think you have heard so many things about jhana until by now you may be tired of, you know, listening to talks on jhana. Believe me, it is still not finished. There are so many things to say about it, but our time is very limited. So today I'm going to continue anyway with the first jhanic formula and explaining them so that there will not be too much confusion with regard to the distinction between one jhana and another. One thing they are very clearly defined and clearly experiential. People who are not familiar with the jhanas can get confused and may not know the difference between first and the second and the second and third and so forth. Sometimes people say, as soon as you attain the first jhana, you are completely cut off from the rest of the world, experiences, no feeling, no sensation, no nothing. If that happens when you attain the first jhana, what is the use of having other jhanas? So if everything happened in the first step, then you don't need anything else. So the first jhana, and Buddha defined it very clearly in every sutra where he dealt with jhana, he very clearly defined each jhana and described each one. If you have not attained it as yet, at least you got to remember this distinction between one and the other. First one is, he says in Pali, viviccheva kame, viviccakusule dhamme, savitakkan, savicharan, viveka jampiti sukham patamajjhanam upasampadya viharati. Meaning, quite secluded from sense pleasures, secluded from unwholesome state of mind, one enters and dwells in the first jhana, which is accompanied by applied thought and sustained thought, joy and happiness born of seclusion. I don't think you can remember all this so quickly, but that is the definition of the first jhana. That means quite secluded from sense pleasures. Sense pleasures means pleasure we enjoy through our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind. Distract our mind from concentration. So we have to temporarily suspend them. And we seclude ourselves from those sensual pleasures. That is physical seclusion as well as physical seclusion. That part refers to physical seclusion. Quite secluded from sensual pleasures. Not just abusing sensual pleasures. Abusing sensual pleasures is one thing, but secluding from sensual pleasures is another. That means even if we do not abuse it, and we enjoy legitimate sensual pleasures, and still that would be a distraction for gaining concentration. So, temporarily we suspend it, and temporarily we liberate the mind from that. Then, secluded from unwholesome mental states, Now, when we say quite secluded from sensual pleasures, and what are the unwholesome mental states? Unwholesome mental states are hindrances. Sensual pleasure is also not considered to be wholesome state for this particular purpose. Even that is not wholesome. But it is emphasized separately because that is one of the most difficult mental state to have when we practice jhana. Other unwholesome mental states are hatred, restlessness and worry, sleepiness and drowsiness, and doubt. Then one enters and dwells in the first jhana. After abandoning these, what we call five hindrances, one enters and dwells in the first jhana, which is accompanied, then he mentions the jhanic factors, accompanied by joy, happiness, concentration, accompanied by joy, happiness, born of seclusion. We have joy and happiness born of seclusion. And therefore, this attainment is not that deep. Because we have just left these things behind, and that gives us a sense of freedom, knowing that these things have been left behind. We have certain amount of freedom that gives us joy and happiness. Although, as I mentioned, there are other factors which are not prominent. Why? Although these dhyani factors are here, there are opposite factors like hindrances are still haunting the mind from behind. And now you are juggling the dhyani factors and their opposites. That is why you lose that attainment very quickly. And then, in order to go to higher jhanas and make this very steady, as I mentioned, we have to master this attainment. I mentioned five steps of mastery. One is called advaiting. Advaiting means you recollect each of these jhanic factors. Initial application of thought, sustained application of thought, joy, happiness, sense concentration. When initial application thought arises, we know the mind is free from greed, hatred, you have loving friendliness. As you have overcome hatred, loving friendliness, you have compassion. As you have overcome cruelty, thought of cruelty, and as you have overcome the abandoning sensual pleasures, you have the feeling of liberation, letting go of things, then you become aware of each of them. Your mind is free from clinging temporarily and filled with the thought of letting go, letting go. And that gives you pleasure, spiritual pleasure. You abandon carnal pleasure to gain spiritual pleasure. And Buddha said, Ragang Nisaya, Ragang Pahatabba. Depending on the carnal pleasure, depending on the spiritual pleasure, we abandon carnal pleasure. That means we enjoy spiritual pleasure more than carnal pleasure, and therefore we like it. It is more desirable. So we know, this I never had when I had sensual pleasures. I never had this kind of freedom. This freedom is so remarkable. I wish I had this before. Now I have it. So you really enjoy that pleasure, which has nothing. That is why the Buddha said there's no reason to be afraid of that, because it has nothing to do with the sensual pleasures. Why we have reason to be afraid of sensual pleasures? Because it always has its own dangers. Imperil kamanam asada, adinava, okara, sankilesa, and so forth. Adinava means danger. Okara means degradation. Sankilesa means defilements. None of these things is there when we gain the spiritual pleasure. Spiritual pleasure will never degrade you. Never. And it doesn't have any danger in it. Nor does it have any defiling factors. And therefore there is no reason to be afraid of it. So you enjoy it. And this is called reflection, adverting. You reflect this. And then you see the next one. Your mind is temporarily free from hatred. Ah, what joy it is. What pleasure it is. When I had anger, hatred, I was so miserable. Now it is gone. You enjoy that. Then, you have restlessness. When you had restlessness, you were like a slave. Now it is gone. You are full of joy, of freedom. When you had sleepiness and drowsiness, you were like in prison. You don't know what's going on. Now you are totally free. And you feel the joy and that freedom. When you are full of doubt, you are bewildered, you are confused. Now you are free. No doubt, you can see the results. Having these factors in mind, you go one by one, go through one by one, and keep reflecting. That is called adverting. This is how you strengthen your attainment. When you advert, reflect, and see the benefit, you strengthen this attainment. Second is, now you have as I said, you have lost it, and then you advert this, and then you determine to attain it. You resolve to attain it, and then you attain it again. And then, even before you attaining it, you decide, when I stay for a certain period of time, I come out, then you come out, then revive again these factors. When I was in jhana, I had this enjoyment, this pleasure. Now I came out of it. So you attain it again. So these are the five ways. One is adverting. The other is attaining. Third is resolving. Fourth is emerging. And the fifth is reviving. By these five ways, you master the first jhana, first attainment. And you keep attaining it again and again. Every time you lose it, you master them, reflecting, adverting, and so forth. You master them and attain again. When you want to go to the second jhana, some people, commentators and meditation teachers say you have to come out of the first jhana and then attain the second jhana. You never find it in Buddha's discourses. What actually happens is when you attain the first jhana again and again and again and again, after mastering each time you attain it, then although at the beginning your attainment was so gorgeous, so remarkable, as you keep attaining it again and again, you lose interest in it. Just like anything else, everything is impermanent. At first time, it is so wonderful. As I say, even that has a diminishing marginal return. It is original pleasure diminishes every time you attain. It is not that marvelous. Anything you enjoy again and again, this is the true nature of impermanence. You eat certain food, you really enjoy it. If you were to eat it again and again every day, would you enjoy that? Even when you are very desperate, you may eat something several times, but afterwards you lose interest in it. You think of anything you enjoyed in your life. This is the nature. It is very much the same when you attain jhanas, attain the first jhana. You know, going away and having finding a suitable place, beautiful place, quiet place and so forth, you attain this jhana. For the first time, it is wonderful. Second, third, fourth, fifth time, and slowly its original pleasure, original joy, original peace becomes stale. At that time, mind naturally looks for something higher, better. And then mind glides to the second jhana. It naturally happens. If you were to come out of the first jhana to attain the second, it is just like climbing steps. When you want to climb steps, you climb the first step. And when you want to climb the second step, what do you do? Do you come out of the first step and then go to the second? No. While standing on the first step, you lift your foot and put on the second. Exactly the same way, when you attain the first jhana, and until you become very strong, you keep attaining it, and then when you are ready, mind naturally goes to the second. It just glides into the second. How can you know the difference between the first and the second? When you attain the second, if you remember the formula, you don't have to repeat the formula, but you can see the characteristic of the second jhana very clearly. It says, vitak vicharanam upasama ajyattam sampasadanam cheso ekodabhavam avitakkam avicharam samadhijampi sukam dutya jhana upasampanja viharati. Meaning, having abandoned initial thought and sustained thought, one enters and dwells in the second jhana, which has internal confidence and unification of mind joy and happiness based on unification of mind. When you are in the second jhana, you abandon pleasure and what you call initial thought and sustained thought. Abandoning means initial thought is loving friendliness, compassion, the thought of generosity, and these are the initial thought. Sustained thought is the same thing, you maintain it, keep it in your mind. And even those things become stale afterward. And that is how you let them go. Initially, loving friendliness at the first time is a wonderful. Thought of generosity is wonderful. Compassion is wonderful. But even that, eventually, you get so used to it. And then, initial thrill will no longer be there. And that is how you let them go. At the first time you have a joy and happiness, and that joy and happiness arises from being secluded from sensual pleasures and so forth. Now, when you attain the second jhana, you also have joy and happiness depending on the internal confidence and unification of mind. Internal confidence arising from your attainment of the first jhana. You knew that you can do it. When you knew that you can do it, you have faith, confidence. And also, because of the abandoning of initial thought and sustained thought, you gain true, deep concentration and silence. Real silence. Noble silence. The second jhana actually sometimes is called as the noble silent jhana. And normally people say, I observe noble silence. In retreat you hear, observe noble silence. You are not on observing noble silence. That silence is not that noble. Sometimes you speak in the kitchen. Sometimes you speak outside. And even if you don't speak out loud, inner chip, 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 chip is going on inside. Why? Because the thoughts are going on in the mind. Thoughts are appearing in the mind. And therefore, you are not really in noble silence. Noble silence occurs only when thoughts do not appear in the mind. That happens when you attain the second jhana. Now, some people, as I said, think when you attain the first jhana, all your thoughts finish, stop, and your feelings stop and so forth. That is not true. Initial thought and sustained thought are the kind of thought we are talking about in jhanas. Even though they are wholesome thoughts, still they stimulate the mind. As long as thought stimulates the mind, mind keep perpetuating, bringing new thoughts. And therefore, when these thoughts stop, then you will have a real silence. Thoughts therefore do not stop until you attain the second jhana. And therefore, you gain true concentration. Real, true, deep concentration begins from the second jhana. Even in the first jhana, you have a degree of concentration. And because of the And the hindrances are haunting the mind, and vitakka vichara, initial thought and sustained thought are still in the mind. Your silence is, your concentration is not that deep. So the first jhanic attainment does not have that kind of deep concentration. Only when you attain the second jhana, you will see the deep concentration. Only then you know that you are in the second jhana, where there are no thoughts. And your concentration is very deep, without thoughts. But still you have feelings. Feelings do not disappear. You feel, but your mind is not stimulated by the feelings. Mind is really silent. Experiencing the feeling of happiness. Happiness is mental and physical experience. You experience it and you stay with it with deep concentration. And there's much deeper concentration, much deeper happiness. And then, still you can lose it. Why lose it? Because the joy, the opposite of restlessness and worry, can still linger in the mind. As long as that stays in the mind, you lose it. And then again you master the attainment, as you did before. And keep mastering it again and again and again. You come out of it, reflect on it, determine to attain it, and then come out of it, reflect on each factor of the second jhana, and then attain again. When you keep doing it several times, in one sitting you can do all this. You don't have to get up. And then you attain the second jhana. Again, and then you lose interest in it, and then the mind naturally glides into the third jhana. You don't have to deliberately come out of the second to go to the third. While you are in the second, after mastering it, when the mind is ready, then it goes to the, instead of coming out of jhana, you will go forward into the third jhana. Third jhanic formula is Pityacha viraga upekkhakocha viharati satocha sampajano sukhancha kayena patisang vedeti yantangarya achikanti upekkhako satima sukha vihariti tatya jhana upasampajya viharati. Meaning, abandoning happiness, one enters and dwells in the third jhana, which has equanimity and mindfulness, and noble one say, one who has attained the equanimity and mindfulness enjoys mindfulness and equanimity. Upekkhako satima sukha vihari. Mindfulness and equanimity. Now where is the mindfulness? And where is equanimity? At the beginning, in the first jhana, there is mindfulness is not mentioned. Equanimity is not mentioned. But in the third jhana, these two emerge. Where do they come from? This is why we have to remember from the very beginning in this jhanic practice, Buddha mentioned the whole series of things That is, one has to be, one has to observe ethical, moral principles, and then have restraint, disciplining one's senses, and then practice mindfulness and clear comprehension. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. And this mindfulness and clear comprehension has been not very clear in the first and second jhana because of the other jhanic factors are stronger. When those jhanic factors become weak, mindfulness and clear comprehension become very prominent in the third jhana. Now, that is why I mentioned when we practice jhanic, right concentration, right jhana, mindfulness is an absolutely necessary factor. We have to have mindfulness. So, and then another factor which is not mentioned in the first jhana and second jhana is equanimity. Equanimity is not mentioned in the first and second jhana, but it becomes prominent in the third jhana. That means you have abandoned happiness. Abandoning happiness means you lose interest in happiness, then you attain the third jhana. And then, instead of happiness, you have equanimity, balanced state of mind, and mindfulness. When equanimity arises, mindfulness also arises along with that. And these are the two factors that you can find in the third jhana. Now you can see the difference between the second and the third. Second, concentration is deep, confidence is deep, happiness is deep, and you have a real noble silence because of the absence of initial thought and sustained thought. When you attain the third jhana, new factors arise. That is mindfulness and equanimity. And also sukhancha kayena patisangvedeti. Your entire body is filled with true, deep happiness. That happiness is inexplicable in words. Some Abhidhamma explanation, commentators and Abhidhamma teachers explain that is not a physical happiness, but happiness in the mental state, chitta, chetana body, the body of thoughts. But the discourse, the formula itself says, sukhancha kayena patisangvedeti. Kaya means body. That means happiness arises in the mind that you feel not only in the mind, but even in the body, every cell, you feel the happiness is in every cell of your body. Because it does not contain within the mind itself. Once it becomes very strong, you feel it all over your entire cell, entire, what you call, trillions of cells in your body. You feel happiness. And that is where you don't have any grief, sorrow, lamentation, pain, and so forth. At that level, mind is completely merged with true deep happiness. And you can stay there much longer than that you can stay in the first and second jhana. And to balance it from being thrilled, you also have equanimity. When you have equanimity, although you are enjoying, you have a deep happiness, you don't get carried away with happiness. Sometimes when you attain the first jhana, people become emotional, their tears come into roll down from their eyes. Because there is no equanimity, no deep mindfulness. But the happiness you gain in the third jhana is so deep, so subtle, so powerful that you enjoy, experience it in your entire body, and yet you will not become emotional. Why? Equanimity is there. That is a very powerful mental state. Physical happiness will be contained and controlled by this equanimity, so that you will not have an emotional reaction to anything at that time. It's a difficult state to explain, but that is exactly what you experience. I try to explain it as much as I can, but until you experience it, you cannot understand it well. Then, even that gradually wears out. Then you lose that jhana. Then again you master it again. And this time mastering the third jhana is much easier than the other two jhanas, because you have already trained yourself to master two jhanas, two lower jhanas. Now you have this experience, this training, therefore when you attain the third jhana, your mastery will be easy, and then you can get back to the third jhana. And since you have deep awareness with equanimity, as you lose interest in the third jhana, mind naturally glides into the fourth jhana. That is something you have to look forward to. That is, sukhasya cha pahana, dukhasya cha pahana, pubbev somanasa domanasana ngathangama, adukkang asukang upekka sati parisuddhin chatutta jhana upasampajya viharati. That means, having abandoned pleasure and pain, and previously disappearance of joy and happiness, one enters and dwells in the fourth jhana, which has purity of mindfulness due to the presence of equanimity. Now, when you attain the fourth jhana, you have already abandoned pain. When you attain the first jhana, you abandon pain. After that, you don't have physical pain. When you attain the third jhana, you abandon happiness. When you attain the second jhana, you abandon domanasa, that is mental disappointment. And when you attain the third jhana again, you abandon somanasa, mental happiness. Then your mindfulness becomes pure due to the presence of equanimity. In the third jhana, you have mindfulness and equanimity working together as partners, parallel to each other. But when you're in the fourth jhana, equanimity becomes so powerful and strong that it can even purify mindfulness. So the mindfulness has been working from the very beginning of the first jhana and worked its way through the fourth jhana. Each stage of attainment of first, second, third, becoming stronger. Mindfulness becomes stronger and stronger at each attainment. First, second, third. And at the same time, equanimity also becomes stronger and stronger to balance the mind. When you attain the fourth jhana, equanimity takes the leadership and becomes more prominent, the strongest mental factor. It is so strong that whatever impurities was there in your mindfulness, that will disappear and it becomes pure because of the presence of equanimity. Now, and that is why the attainment of the fourth jhana is considered to be the highest in material jhanic attainment, because nothing else can purify your mindfulness. Mindfulness we are practicing all along. And as I said, mindfulness will not work without concentration. Concentration is not right without mindfulness. So when you attain the fourth jhana, you can see the way how these two work together, mindfulness and concentration. These are not completely two different practices. These two practices go together hand in hand from the very beginning if we learn and practice right mindfulness. Right mindfulness blossoms, purifies when we attain the fourth jhana. However, mindfulness will not become right mindfulness with greed, hatred and delusion. It has to be free from greed, hatred and delusion to be right mindfulness. And right mindfulness is not right mindfulness also without concentration, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort and these seven factors. Right concentration is not right concentration without the other seven factors. So, when we attain the fourth jhana, only fourth jhana has, in addition to its jhani qualities, jhani factors, it has some very special qualities. Eight special qualities. What are they? It has parisuddha, pure. It's a pure attainment, very pure and clean. Pariyodata means just white, meaning another word for purity and clarity. Anangana means without idiosyncrasies, without stains. Mudubhuta, it is soft. Kammaniya, pliable. Thita, steady. Ananjapatta, imperturbable. It will not be disturbed by anything else. So the four jhani qualities make the mind so strong, powerful and serene, sharp and clear that one can use this particular mental state to develop other various mind power, mental powers. That is one side. The second is when one attains the fourth jhana, that is the state one can use for destructing all the defilements easily. When you attain the first jhana, also you can destroy defilements with some effort. When you attain the second jhana, you can destroy defilements with somewhat ease. When you attain the third jhana, you can destroy defilements much more easily. When you attain the fourth jhana, destruction or defilements become almost extremely simple and easy. In the Buddha's explanation, whenever he was talking about destroying defilements, destroying fetters, he always used the fourth jhana. It doesn't mean that one has to attain all the jhanas to destroy defilements. Having said this, I also must clarify certain other confusions with regard to jhanas. Sometimes there is a belief that when one has attained jhana, in order to overcome or destroy defilements, one must come out of jhana and practice mindfulness separately. Practice mindfulness separately. You attain jhana and come out of it and use your factors of jhana as object of your mind meditation to destroy defilements, which we never find anywhere else in text, that you have to come out of jhana to practice defilements. I mean, to overcome defilement, to destroy defilements. What are the kind of defilements we are talking about? The fetters, 10 fetters. When you attain jhanas, you suppress 5 hindrances. By suppressing 5 hindrances, your effort to destroy the fetters becomes easy. And so therefore some people think that you must come out of jhana and then start practicing mindfulness in order to destroy defilements. But friends, when you see this explanation of each jhana, description of each jhana, you can see mindfulness is right in the jhana. So you don't have to come out of jhana to destroy fetters. It's a very complicated thing. I mean, I try to simplify it. It's extremely difficult to simplify. When you attain jhana, that is the state, even the first jhana, that is the state where you are relatively calm, peaceful, mind is relatively concentrated, and it is the concentrated mind that can see things exactly as they are. As the Buddha said in many, many places, samahitam cittam yathā bhūtam pajānāti. Concentrated mind sees things as they really are. If the concentrated mind can see things as they really are, why should we get out of that state to practice mindfulness to destroy 10 fetters? It is just like you sharpen a knife, when you sharpen a knife, when the knife is very sharp, that is the time you must use the knife to cut something. You don't make it blunt and then cut something. Similarly, when you attain jhana, that is the time mindfulness and concentration work together as a unit, and concentration is very sharp, clear, and that is the state you can see things as they really are, and therefore that is the state where you can destroy fetters. Fetters are, I must list the fetters for you to understand what fetters. I mentioned it several times before, I don't mind repeating them. Number one, believing that in these five aggregates there is one permanent eternal entity called self. That's called Sakkaya Ditti. Ditti means view. Sakkaya means within one's own body. 20 types of different 20 ways of looking at this wrong view. I don't have time to explain all this. Anyway, the second wrong or fetter, vichikicca, that is incurable skeptical doubt of the Dhamma. It arises as a hindrance, as one of the hindrances, but the deep down under hindrances is fetter as a doubt. The third is attachment to rites and rituals. Attachment to rites and rituals. Silabbata paramasa. We do things with the strong attachment, thinking that if we practice those rituals, we can attain liberation. So you keep practicing it. Bow million times to a certain object, you know, prostrate million times, and then you attain enlightenment. Or light 10,000 candles every day, you attain enlightenment, and so forth. You have all kind of rituals and become attached to it. You can never part from them. These are the three fetters. One is believing in permanent eternal self. Second is doubt. Third is attachment to the rites and rituals. Fourth is greed. Fifth is hatred. And these five are called heavy fetters, down-to-earth fetters. And there are five more called light fetters. They are believing in or attachment to fine material existence, attachment to immaterial existence, restlessness, conceit, and ignorance. They are the five very refined, subtle fetters. When you are in deep, concentrated, meditative state with mindfulness, clear comprehension, you begin to see that every tiny, minutest part of your body and mind, no matter how tiny it is in a state of flux, changing. That change you can see only when the mind is really concentrated. Unconcentrated mind cannot see the deepest level of impermanence, deeper level of changes. Cannot see. We can see gross level of changes, not the deepest subtle changes. Even if you know, some gross material changes to see, you have to use a magnifying glass. Right? When you use magnifying glass, you can see material subtle changes. But mind can see, not only that, when the mind is deeply concentrated, mind can experience the most subtle changes in both body and mind. In physics, you can see, using magnifying glass, only material changes. No magnifying glass can show you the changes in the mind, deep changes in the mind. Only concentrated mind can see, experience, the deepest level of changes in our mind. Only at that level you can understand that there is no anything permanent called eternal self. And that is why when we are in a deep concentrated state of mind, in jhana, this becomes very crystal clear in our mind, and that is the level, that is the time mind goes to the very bottom, very root of this belief of permanent self, wrong belief of permanent self, and uproot it. This is what is called seeing things as they really are in the concentrated state of mind. Samahitam chittam yathabhutam pajanati. Concentrated mind can see this extremely subtle changes in the mind and body in order to comprehend, understand, realize that there is no permanent eternal self. Until such time, you can never understand that. You even get very angry if I tell you that there is no permanent self. It's very true. People get angry. I know that. From my own experience. Maybe even now you may get angry. Because you don't see that. The second is doubt. When you have gone through your training, restraining, disciplining, mindfulness, clear comprehension, experiencing joy, pleasure, happiness of metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, concentration, these things are enough for you to build up your confidence. When you attain the second jhana, Buddha said you have confidence. Even when you attain the first jhana, you can gain confidence. Although it is not very strong, you can gain confidence because you can do that. Because the potential is there, power is there, all you have to do is to put your mind and will together, heart and mind together, to achieve it. Once you achieve it, you have confidence in your own experience. And then you have confidence in the Buddha who taught us this method. Then you have confidence in the method, the Dhamma that he taught us. You have confidence in the community of Sangha who have attained this. With this confidence, you overcome your doubt about the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and so forth. And that will happen only when the mind is truly deeply concentrated. You will overcome your doubt. And thirdly, you have been doing all kind of rituals. No ritual can bring you this kind of concentration, this kind of inner confidence, this kind of clarity, purity of mind. No ritual. No matter, even if you die for ritual, no ritual can bring you this kind of purity, clarity of your mind to see things as they really are. And therefore, at that level, you give up, you lose all your attachment to rites and rituals. When these three things happen, you attain the stream entry fruition stage. This will not happen instantly. Even this will happen by stages. There is another long process. That is what is called Supramanian attainment. So when you attain even the first jhana, and that first jhanic attainment can convert into supramundane jhanic attainment, when you gain this knowledge, this awareness, and that is the entry into the Noble Eightfold Path in supramundane level. And that is what when Sariputta, answering the Buddha's question, said, Sota means the Noble Eightfold Path. One who enters the Noble Eightfold Path with this understanding is called Sotapanna. So, you can see the power of concentration and mindfulness work together, how much we can achieve. I think you have another item at this time, so I had to restrain myself because this is a very big subject. I like very much to talk about it. Since not too many people talk about this sort of things very often, whenever I have a chance, I like to talk about it. But unfortunately, I have to restrain myself to stop it. And I hope perhaps if you have questions this evening, I like to answer those questions. And sometimes some of those things can be made even more clear in answering questions. For now, I have to stop.